Okay. It is 11:27 here on May 9th of 2024. We're only a few minutes behind, so that's the good news. So we will call to order the meeting of the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee. Ms. Doe, would you please call the roll?
Trustee Rita Athes?
Here.
Trustee Veronica Herrero? Trustee Tim Moore?
Here.
Trustee Eric Wasowitz?
Here.
Board Chair Montel Gales? Trustee John Butler?
Here.
Committee Vice Chair Leland Strom?
Here.
Committee Chair Dennis Barsima?
Here. Thank you very much. We'll move on to number two. Mr. Perry, would you please verify that we have a quorum and that the appropriate notice of this meeting has been posted?
Good morning, Mr. Chair. You do have a quorum present. An appropriate notice has been provided pursuant to the Illinois Open Meetings Act.
Thank you very much. Move on to number three, the meeting agenda approval. Is there a motion to approve the agenda as proposed?
So made, Strom.
Thank you, Trustee Strom. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Trustee Wasowitz. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, we'll call for a vote. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstained? The meeting agenda for May 9th is approved. We move on to number four, review and approval of the minutes from the meeting of February 15th of 2024. Is there a motion to approve those minutes?
So moved, Wasowitz.
Thank you, Trustee Wasowitz. Second?
Second, Moore.
Thank you, Trustee Moore. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? The minutes of February 15th, 2024 are approved. I'd like to also make a comment that Vice President and CFO George Middlemist will be running this meeting from a staff standpoint, but he will be doing it remotely. George, I assume you are online.
I am.
Great. Welcome. Love the AC/DC t-shirt. That's awesome. Now that's a CFO I can get around. Okay. That stopped me for a moment.
I forgot to read.
Okay, number five, chairs, comments, and announcements. I'd like to welcome any members of the University Advisory Committee who are present today. Does anyone have any comments for the board?
No, we do not.
Okay, thank you, and thank you for being here, and thank you for your service to NIU and to the UAC. We will then move on to chair's comments. Good morning, and welcome. First, I would like to congratulate the graduates who will walk commencement this coming weekend. Your dedication as a Husky is very much appreciated. And the board and I wish you all the best. You are now Husky alums. Thank you for entrusting NIU to help you through your next chapter of success. I also, and on behalf of the board, want to thank our fantastic faculty and staff for the completion of another successful academic year. This is the time of year when we are all reminded of why what we do is so important and why we do it. We have a full agenda for today's meeting. We are focused on important financial updates and recommendations in support of the university's operational needs and strategy. There will be a greater emphasis today on strategic fiscal responsibility as we evaluate the university's current financial position and look to address both cash and budget challenges now and in the foreseeable future. We are going to move forward today 8 recommendations for approval, including one that will go to the special meeting of the board due to the time sensitivity of the item. And then the last comment that I have, and I want to mention that the board liaison, Matt Streb, this past weekend received the Distinguished Alumni Award from the Political Science Department of Indiana University. So, Matt, congratulations. And for those of you that may have not seen it, if you go on LinkedIn, I'm sure it's elsewhere, but if you go on LinkedIn and you go into Matt Streb's LinkedIn account, is posted the speech that he gave, which I highly recommend that you listen to. Some great points, some great comments, Matt. And the last thing I'll say about this was the inaugural award that the university gave for the political science department. And so for our Matt Streb to be recognized as the inaugural person to receive the Distinguished Alumni Award is even a greater statement of your importance to that department and the contributions that you've made to political science. So, Matt, thank you. Okay, we'll move on to number six, public comment. At this point in time, we wish to recognize members of the public who have complied with state law and the Board of Trustees bylaws by registering their written request to address the board. Mr. Perry, have you received any timely request to address this meeting?
Mr. Chair, we do not have any public comment, and Trustee Herrero is back in the meeting.
Ah, great. Thank you. Okay. So at this point in time, we will move on to agenda item number seven, the financial update. And I would ask Vice President and Chief Financial Officer Dr. George Middlemiss to present the university financial update. Agenda item 7A. George?
Thank you, Chair relative to the current year budget and prior year actuals. The All Funds financial summary shows net revenue of $33 million. This reflects a $23.5 million less than the fiscal year 2023 third quarter, despite improved revenues. This is similar to the second quarter, where we saw spending increases on personnel, debt service, and contractual services driving the variance to the prior year. Current trends suggest a full year of activity will produce an improved deficit compared to the budget of improved deficit is we're projected to be $32.2 million. The approved budget deficit was $33.6 million. So this is a $1.4 million positive swing in our deficit. This is mainly due to higher investment income driven by continued favorable interest rate trends. Recurring financial summary is projected to exceed budget in total revenues and expenses, netting to a projected reduction of $4 million. Note, personnel services is pending within 1% of budget. And then non-recurring financial summary reports net revenue consistent with budget. The full year suggests that revenues may fall below expectations by about $2.5 million, with expenses mostly in line with budget. And with that, I'll turn it over for any questions.
Thank you, George. Any questions for George from the board on agenda item 7A? So one thing that I would point out, if you look at the all funds financial summary, which is a total picture of the university's financial health for the year, as George mentioned, the annual budget was a $33.6 million projected loss. We're currently projecting a $32.2 million loss. So that's to the good $1.4 million. So not great that we're losing money, but we had projected that was going to be the case. So great that we're making or exceeding our projections. But if you look at the recurring financial summary, which is the next chart, right? So, to me, these are the numbers that we can anticipate every year, or the items that are going on an annual basis. You know, the budget loss was projected to be 37.5, and we're looking at a loss of just under 33.5. So that's a net positive, you know, to the tune of about $4 million. So that's good news. Where we're lagging behind is on the non-recurring financial summary, where you could see we had projected $3.9 million to the good. And, you know, right now we're projecting to only come in at about $1.3 million with most of that miss coming from investment income and miscellaneous income. No. Just point that out for conversation purposes. Are there any other questions for George on agenda item 7A? Okay. So my comments to that I'll make, that was an observation. My comments to that I'll make as the chair is that I'm glad to see, as I said before, that we are very close, even performing slightly better than what we projected for 2024. The fact that we're trending within 1% of our personnel budget is very impressive. The level of accuracy and predictability that will help us as the board and the entire university community financially plan for the future and seek to establish a balanced budget by our goal of FY27 is extremely important. So thank you to you, George, and to the budget and finance teams and the entire NIU family for enhancing budget accuracy through more accurate planning, forecasting, and transparency. I look forward, and the entire board looks forward, to seeing how this will unfold with multi-year planning and will result in our goal of eliminating the deficit and achieving a balanced budget. Agenda item 7B.
Agenda item 7B is the periodic report of cash and investments for the period ending March 31st, 2024. The university's total holdings at the end of the third quarter stand at $105 million, with $44 million available for daily operations, providing approximately 37 days of cash on hand. The operating cash balance covers current obligations for about 1 month based on historical burn rate of $1.2 million per day. The $66 million increase in holding balance from March 2023 is attributed to a delay in the receipt of state appropriations, expiration of pandemic relief funds, increased costs related to payroll, supplier payments, and debt service, while cash receipts have held relatively flat. The university is taking proactive measures to address the declining cash flow trend and deficit spending, which will be critical to maintaining sufficient operational liquidity. In the third quarter, the investment earnings report reveals income of about $1.5 million and an annualized rate of return of 5.39%, $771,000 increase in interest earned compared to the same quarter of fiscal year 23. The decrease is due to lower cash and investment holding balances, despite better yard market yields from the same period last year. Operating funds are invested in liquid interest-bearing accounts to support operations. Recent economic indicators suggest solid growth, highlighted by strong job gains and low unemployment. The Federal Open Market Committee has kept Fed funds rate stable at 5.25% to 5.5%, with no anticipated changes in their next meeting in June 2024. University management remains focused on fiscal sustainability, closely monitoring market changes and using available options under the Illinois Public Funds Investment Act. Progress towards the university's deficit mitigation plan will be critical to maintaining operational liquidity and improving its cash position. That, I'll answer any questions.
Great, thank you. So George, can you or Cherie talk a little bit about what, so we've got approximately 30 some days of cash on hand, you know, what is the target of cash on hand that we strive for, and what is going to get us back into that range?
Yeah. Cherie is in the audience. I'll talk to her real quickly, and then if Cherie wants to add on. So the target's always around 60 days of cash. I will say that the current kind of conditions for higher education, I think, are bringing in new realities for what cash on hand may be, and it may be closer to a 30 to 60 day cash on hand balance. In terms of really getting back to that stronger cash position, it's just math, right? So we spend less than what we make. And so we need to, as part of the deficit mitigation, is to begin spending fewer dollars and making more dollars to really solidify the reserves. And the way we make more dollars is a few different ways. In terms of revenues, it's state funding. We get additional state funding. It's if we can get state support to help us with some of our infrastructure projects and use less cash funds from the university, that'll help. And then enrollment is a pretty important part of the plan.
Anything to add, Sheree?
Anything you want to add?
Okay. So there was a mention that there was some state appropriation funding that was delayed that we have not received. Have we received that since? We have.
I'm going to make sure Sheree is answering me correctly, or making sure I'm saying this correctly.
She's shaking her head, yes. So since March 31st, we have received that. Okay.
So does, I'll just add that, there were many years when we never received our state appropriations on time. And so us noting that this wasn't received on time is actually the result of the state under the current administration really delivering our funds on time to the point where we came to expect them on time. And this was, as I remember, Sheree, a relatively minor delay.
My question was, does that then change the number of days that we have cash on hand for?
It will.
It does a little bit, Veronica. I'm sure I can hear you talking, so I'm going to decline that.
I was going to say, yes, it will change the number of days cash on hand. So we received about $20 million of state appropriation we were expecting in the third quarter. Came like a week or two after we closed the third quarter. So that will increase our days cash on hand, but as George mentioned, we also, it's math, right? We also have to slow spending. We're going into the summer months. It's a cyclical cycle for us, so revenue is higher typically in the beginning of the semester end and lower at the end of each semester. So
maybe it won't make as big of a difference to the number of days we have cash on hand for, because there are other things that we have to service.
Right. So I think we'll end
the Sheree, could you talk into the microphone?
I think we'll end the year about the same as where we are now until the beginning of the fall semester.
Okay. Thank you.
So days cash on hand right now is, I've heard a lot of different things here. So where are we right now?
Here, hang on a second. Somebody had moved the podium, so you're not facing it. There we go.
Okay.
Thank you.
So what was that again?
So the amount of days that we have for cash on hand, how many days are we at right now?
Oh, right now after closing Q3?
Yeah, as of today, let's say.
Do you have that number? I can't say, but I think we're going to hover around that 37 days cash 37. On hand through the summer until we get to the fall.
Okay. And usually
that's our
like to be at
60 to 90 days.
60. Okay. Thank you.
Other questions, comments? Thank you, George and Sheree. This is the place to really impress upon our campus community the importance of closing the deficit and reaching a balanced budget, as we've talked about over the past year plus. We now have more accurate budgeting processes, but the budget deficit is directly taking its toll on the university's cash, which is evidenced in this report. Coming down $66 million on a year-over-year basis is concerning to the board. And it's more concerning that the current FAFSA delay could result in further adverse financial impact. I'm glad to know that the university leadership has already begun to take measures to address these concerns and also communicate to campus partners the need to be able to control spending as we weather yet another storm. I have confidence that this community will rebound, think creatively, and pull through these financial challenges as we identify growth and reduction opportunities, aiming for that shared goal of a balanced budget and fiscal sustainability. No further questions for 7B. We'll move on to 7C. George?
Agenda item 7C is the fiscal year 2025 University Budget Preliminary Summary. In preparation for the June Board of Trustees consideration of the FY25 interim budget, university leadership continues to consult campus partners and the Office of Budget and Financial Planning to advance all funds fiscal year budget proposal. While some of the inputs into this budget proposal remain under development, several known and accepted parameters exist. This preliminary budget summary document reviews major assumptions, parameters, and associated activities and initiatives that will shape both the FY25 budget and future multi-year budget planning efforts. Some highlights include projected increase of nearly $2 million in state appropriations, as we heard from that earlier, anticipated increase in tuition and fee revenues over the prior years due to pricing, recruitment, and retention efforts, stabilizing debt expenses for the fiscal year, and continuing the realization of savings of nearly $5 million 2021 debt district to refinancing the bonds, continued university-wide efforts to reduce and reallocate expenses to help reduce the deficit, and all the unknown at this time, the potential negative financial impact of the flawed rollout of the new FAFSA process continues to be monitored and backed into future planning. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Great. Thank you, George. Any questions, comments on agenda item 7C? As I'm sure most, if not, I hope all of you saw that in the communication that went out from our provost here over the past few days relative to fiscal year 25, and as we close out fiscal year 24, you know, the goal for next year, as we have been stating, is to reduce our budget deficit by approximately $16 million. Not all of that is going to come from revenue. It's going to come, you know, from the expense side too. And I want to acknowledge here that while we are making great progress with some of these actions, and we will see a modest but helpful 2% increase to the state appropriations budget, you know, we also must have a continued strong focus on controlling expenses. So the board and I want to see us very clearly reach that place of sustainability and a balanced budget so the university can better prepare and better to react to the external challenges that we have faced in the past or we're facing today. As Dr. Freeman mentioned a few moments ago, there were days when we didn't have a state budget and we weren't receiving state appropriations on a regular basis during the budget impasse, you know, back in around 2016-17. Our pandemic, and today with FAFSA. And there's always going to be something, right? It's what's next that's coming. That's just the world that we live in. So the faster, you know, we can get to a balanced budget, you know, and as we have stated, the goal of the university is FY27. But we are all a part of that. And we all have to do whatever is expected of us or needed from us on both the revenue and the expense control side to reach the balanced budget. But the, you know, the sooner we get to a balanced budget and a balanced budget that is sustainable. We can't just get to a balanced budget in FY27 and then in FY28 go back into a deficit. It has to be sustainable. Once we get above the line, we got to stay above the line, right? And so the faster we can get there, the more we have the ability to plan and weather for whatever is coming next to us from a crisis standpoint, which, as we all know, there will be something. We don't know what it is, but there will be something. So appreciate all of the support of the university campus And I will tell you that the board has tremendous confidence in the leadership ability of everybody, including, of course, Dr. Freeman, to guide the campus through the current fiscal environment in pursuit of NIU's academic and fiscal mission. And the board and I look forward to reviewing the FY25 budget proposal in June with our campus community, and then the full FY24 performance report later in the year. And if there's no further questions or comments, we will move on to agenda item number 8. And at this point in time, this is where we get to action items. So, George, I will turn it over to you for agenda item 8A.
Thank you, Dennis. Agenda item 8A is the fiscal year 2025 NIU Foundation Professional Services Contract. The university and the NIU Foundation annually enter into a contract which serves to outline the fundraising services and activities being provided by the foundation on behalf of the university each year. This contractual agreement is in accordance with the legislative audit commission guidance. The amount of $743,600 represents no change over fiscal year 24 and covers salaries and other expenses for designated employees, as well as a portion of programmatic services in accordance with contract obligations. The university recommends that the Finance Audit Compliance Facilities and Operations Committee endorse this request and ask that the president forward it by means of the president's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its meeting on June 20th, 2024.
Thank you, George. Is there a motion to approve agenda item 8A?
So made, Strum.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second, Herrero.
Thank you. Is there any discussion or questions? Okay. Hearing none, all those in favor of agenda item 8A, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstain? Agenda item 8A is passed. Agenda item 8B.
Agenda item 8B is the Intercollegiate Athletic Spirit Charter Services for football and men's and women's basketball teams. A request for proposal was developed and will be advertised in the Illinois Procurement Bulletin for the fiscal years 2025 through 2029 for air charter services for the football and men's and women's basketball teams. Intercollegiate Athletics will initiate the process of approval of the bid with a successful vendor or vendors upon completion of evaluation of the bids. The total is not to exceed $6 million. $500,000 for football annually and $700,000 for both basketball programs annually. This is a new request to include men's and women's basketball teams. Whenever practical, we use ground bus transportation. However, due to the large number of travelers as well as the distance to be the way it means, an air charter service for these games is necessary. The university recommends that the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee endorse this request and ask that the president forward it by means of the president's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its meeting on June 20th, 2024.
Great. Thank you, George. Is there a motion to approve agenda item 8B?
So moved.
Thank you, Trustee Wasowitz. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Trustee Athos. Is there any discussion or questions? Okay. Hearing none, all those in favor of agenda item 8B, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Abstain? Agenda item 8B is passed. Agenda item 8C.
Agenda item 8C is Media Buying Services. The Division of Enrollment Management, Marketing, and Communications, AMMC, is requesting approval of expenditure authority for the new contract with a vendor for media buying services. AMMC is responsible for developing and deploying strategies to attract a diverse mix of students to attend NIU. The Division's marketing and communications activities ensure that institutional and brand building work is aligned with staff develops strategic, highly targeted advertising campaigns to have the greatest impact on prospective students, meeting goals within the Strategic Enrollment Management Plan 2.0 plan and the 2024 University Goals Goal 2A. Media vendors complement the efforts of EMMC staff by serving as an intermediary for most media purchases, decreasing transactional costs to NIU and providing greater institutional buying power, as well as data analytics that allow NIU to respond rapidly to market conditions. The contract with our current partner for media buying services will conclude on June 30th, 2025. Current partnership includes two subcontractors who qualify under the state's BEP program. Moreover, the primary and both subcontractors have locations in Chicago. Because of the time required to secure a new media buying service partnership, NIU needs to conduct an RFP for a new contract to be advertised on the Illinois Procurement Bulletin later this summer and begin on July 1st, 2025. The RFP will open the opportunity to a diverse group of vendors in this evolving sector. NIU seeks an initial term of 2 years for fiscal year 26 and 27, not to exceed $7 million, with each renewal year in fiscal year 28, 29, and 30, not to exceed $3.5 million a year. This structure provides for a successful transition as well as appropriate performance evaluation. The university recommends that the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee endorse this request and ask the President for it by means of the President's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its meeting on June 20th, 2024.
Thank you, George. Is there a motion to approve Agenda Item 8C?
So made, Strum.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second, Butler.
Thank you, Trustee Butler. Is there any discussion or questions?
So this is just what we talked about before with SOL and the RFP for that, right? It's the same thing.
SOL went over the details of this on the last couple slides of the presentation he gave in ASAP.
So yes.
Mm-hmm. Just want to make sure.
Other questions? Okay. Hearing none, all those in favor of Agenda Item 8C, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstain? Agenda Item 8C is passed. Agenda Item 8D.
Agenda Item 8D is the Division of Human Resources, Resource Services Purchase of Timekeeping Maps and Management Solution. HRS requests permission to engage with UKG, formerly known as Chromos, through a multi-year contract for timekeeping maps and management processes. This will not only automate and produce efficiencies in the production and maintenance of timesheets and the coordination of absences for all employees, but also significantly reduce the administrative burden for those who manage the process. The amount requested is not to exceed $1.1 million over the period of May 1st, 2024 through April 1st, 2029, inclusive of one-time implementation fee and system access. Currently, our timekeeping and action management process is our paper-based, which possesses significant challenges. In addition to two employees who manage the payroll process in HRS, more than 150 administrative support professionals spend 15 hours a week managing, capturing, and mining employees and reporting those data points to HRS. Accordingly, this procedure will allow employees to focus on more strategic, value-added activities. The university recommends that the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee endorse this request and ask that the President forward it by means of the President's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its special meeting on May 9th, 2024.
Thank you, George. Is there a motion to approve Agenda Item 8D?
So moved, Herrero.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second, Athis.
Thank you, Trustee Athis. Is there any discussion or questions? Okay, Trustee Athis.
I just wanted to ask about the employees that are currently doing this work with the automation. Will they be reallocated? Will there be cutbacks? How's that going to be handled?
Why don't I take the question first, then, and I can ask John Arcardo, our chief HR officer, in the room to add more detail. This purchase, by creating efficiencies, is really designed to let our employees do less rote work and focus more on strategic value-added activities. Exactly what that might look like in HRS, I'll defer to John.
Well, good morning. I appreciate the question and certainly the opportunity to comment on this. As we noted in our administrative study from 2021, the amount of time that was spent by administrative professionals was in excess of 15 hours a week of going around reminding, capturing, and collecting this data. The university believes that by freeing up this time, we'll be able to focus on more strategic priorities and other relevant activities that help support our mission of student-centered success. Just kind of through my observations, when looking at this, this administrative process that we currently have can result in overtime, so we'll see some reduction in that regard, and potentially in the capturing of additional pay for additional duties that may be responsible for those particular items as it relates to capturing these for employees as well.
Mm-hmm. Other questions? Trustee Butler?
My question is the scope of who will be actually interfacing with this automated process. Is this staff? Is it faculty? What? Who is this going to be? Who's going to be asked to utilize this system on a regular basis?
That's a great question. The timekeeping solution is kind of two separate components. The first is to replace our current paper-based system of capturing time for non-exempt employees that report time on an hourly basis. So all of our hourly-based employees will be the ones that are the heavy users of this because they're going to be doing it every single pay period. I do want to add in a little bit of a comment as to how this helps produce additional efficiencies for the university. We have over 25 work groups on campus. Each have very specific and unique rules that drive how overtime is calculated, how time is paid, how we record that time throughout campus. This will automate that, so there is no longer any manual process for us to verify, check, and validate that they're recording time correctly. For our remaining employees, we have a process for reporting our salaried employees, the benefit utilization, so our vacation time, our PTO, our paid benefits. Right now, that is also paper-based. And so those employees will now be able to record on their phone when they're able to take time. If you have a current process that you're in your department where that requires some level of approval, it will all be automated, so that they'll be able to go in and manage that time. We are meeting people where they're at, so you can do it on your phone, the web, or have a timekeeper within that department to manage that time. So overall, it will affect every employee on campus, but our heavy users will be those that are our non-exempt hourly reporters.
And there's nothing, I mean, this is a change in the conditions of employment, for lack of a better term, that is consistent with existing collective bargaining agreements. Like, we have language that says time will be kept in a manner as determined by the university, something of that nature. No one's going to read this as a significant material change.
We have already been working with our unions to alert them that we are going to be migrating to a cloud-based solution. The approach we're taking is really meeting employees where they're at. We aren't going to change the process that they currently use outside of the recording medium in which they're reporting that time. So, for example, I know one of the more, I think, one of the areas that more accurately illustrates that is with a time clock. We're not going to add time clocks to areas that don't currently have time clocks. We're asking just the modality in which they're telling us and reporting those hours is being now recorded on a computer system rather than on a Excel spreadsheet.
Can it be done after the fact? So can I enter my time on Friday for the whole week?
The program is incredibly dynamic and versatile. So you can enter it on Monday or on Friday. You can enter it as you go. There will be a deadline to have that recordation so we can appropriately produce the payroll. But you'll be able to enter it in any fashion at any time up until that deadline, just as we currently do.
Okay.
Trustee Strom.
I assume that this system will provide more accuracy in time reporting as well?
Absolutely.
Does that raise any, again, I think building off of Trustee Butler's comments, does that create any issues that the employees will either favor or not favor?
As far as the recordation of time, it will more accurately record that time. I think
people don't like mistakes in their paychecks most of the time.
Correct.
I'll just add that. The auditors don't like mistakes in people's paychecks either. So,
The analogy is I'm involved in a process with the U.S. Department of Agriculture that will now provide more accuracy for farmers to report their plantings every year by automating. It is amazing the amount of pushback that the ag community is having to this new form of accuracy. And I'm just curious as to if there's any pushback for whatever reason on this system.
I will share maybe just kind of the process we've undertaken to go through discovery of this mm-hmm. this new product. And I think it's important to point out that as we're socializing this experience throughout campus, we are receiving a significantly positive response. Mm-hmm. I think going back to one of the earlier questions about how we are able to focus on more strategic and priorities that will benefit the institution, we're seeing significant relief from people that, gosh, now I'm able to really do the job I really want to do and to be able to do the things that really will make a profound difference to our students' lives and their success here at NIU.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I think maybe just adding in that we are seeing a significantly positive response from those we interact with and engage to push this and advance the program forward.
Okay. And I will say that, you know, realistically, Trustee Strom, whenever you change anything, people don't love change. They like having their paychecks be correct, but they don't love change. And so, you know, there's a period initially where maybe there's a little bit of fear, a lack of enthusiasm for doing things in a different way, but usually you come back up. And this is a change that was advocated for by the campus during the efficiency project. And so,
agree. My question is a little bit different. Is so the $1.1 million includes the one-time implementation fees and such, but do we have the manpower identified to do the implementation, and are we comfortable with the, you know, the fact that we can uphold our end of the bargain from a manpower standpoint to you know, to do the transition to the new system?
That is a very great question, and I think the HRS team will tell you I certainly have a very ambitious timeline, you know, to get this implemented. So that we can begin realizing some of those efficiencies. But yes, as soon as we started to evaluate options, we began to look at structurally how would this right. work, not only in HR, but in DOIT. Our colleagues in IT are going to have to play a significant role in how this will be managed. And so we've been working very closely with them, again, just giving you a little bit more background to kind of determine what is the best timing for this to occur. We know that we all have these ebbs and flows in our schedules to be able to implement. What we're doing in HR to help augment our two timekeepers that primarily play the role in producing our payroll is to use that kind of wave and ebb and flow. And so as we're developing the work rules and the engines that will drive the automation, they'll be on off paycheck cycles. And we are reallocating some of our resources within HR to help support that effort as well. So that way we know that we'll have that additional support for our payroll team as we manage a very laborious and manual process right now yeah. to get to a future state of an automated system.
The agreement that you have with Kronos or now UKG, is it a, in terms of the implementation fee, is it a set fee or can it move? And we've all been through a lot of these before, and all of a sudden, you know, the consultant or the company comes to you and goes, well, my people have spent more time on site because you didn't have the resources, so here's a bill for $100,000, you know, for the extra time that my people has spent there. So
it's a great question, and it is a set dollar amount in the contract. So as soon
okay.
as we sign the deal, it will be
identified. It is fixed, okay.
And if you'll permit
me. Not that
me,
you've ever done that, I'm sure.
If you'll permit, I do want to also add, we have been looking at ways to make this budget neutral. I think one of the ways that I want to make sure the trustees know is I know this is an ask for an investment, but we are looking at the year-over-year cost of what it costs to print all of the timesheets. And that amount is pretty staggering. And so we'll be reducing that significantly, and that aligns with many of our strategic goals.
Are you planning to historically go backwards in input information, or just from here going forward?
It would be point forward, but the program integrates with PeopleSoft. So
okay.
this really is a bolt-on solution, so we'll be able to use data from PeopleSoft to continue to provide reports.
Questions down at this end of the table? Are we good? Okay. Right. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Okay, we're on 8D. we have a motion to approve. We have a second. Is there any further discussions or questions? Okay. All those in favor of agenda item 8D, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstain? Agenda item 8D is passed. Agenda item 8E. Okay, we just can't escape boilers. Is there a motion to approve agenda item 8E?
So moved, Athus.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second, Strom.
Thank you. Any discussions or comments? Trustee Butler.
I'm just trying to get a sense of the this item in relation to the board's new financial thresholds. So is there something I'm missing about?
Brian can correct me, but when we passed the board reg changes, we omitted capital from the changed threshold. Okay. So in June, when the revised revisions go forward, we'll correct that oversight. But today we have two capital items.
That's what I'm curious.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. The board had not seen the capital item agenda before, so we are holding that to June. So you'll see a revised item with the increased threshold.
Okay, thank you.
Well, while I can still ask questions about it, then what's the lifespan of a boiler?
We need John Heckman for that.
I'm going to speculate a little bit because I'm not an expert on boilers, but they're going to vary. Our big boilers on campus, they've been around for 60 years. So depending on the size and the era, it really illustrates how long they've been built for. And a big investment like the ones we have for campus here, they're built for that 50-year purpose. A smaller site, a building only like in Rockford, they're going to be a smaller package. They're not going to be built for that 50-year purpose. So getting 30 years out of this may not be bad. I don't know the specifics on this boiler, but this is probably a good
okay, so from an annual standpoint, it's $15,000 to $20,000 a year over a 30-year period. And is the $465,000 is that all up front, or are we financing that, or? Let's get into a long discussion on this, but the Rockford facility, is it well used?
Rockford and Naperville are both used on a very consistent basis. They're considered to be real community assets. And if I'm correct, the status of the Rockford building is it's a state building as opposed to the Naperville.
And we use it primarily for MBA studies?
Conferencing and events. They're revenue-generating facilities. And we have some community offices that are based there that generate revenue through rental.
Okay.
I have a question.
Trustee Herrera?
At some point, I remember you shared with us what the expected, right, what our plans were for capital repairs and investments. Was this part of, did we see this coming, and do we see more of these replacements coming.
John, could you make sure that your mic, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I'm getting a flurry of texts that various people's mics are not on, so if you could just make sure your mics are on when you speak, thank you.
When we originally did our study, I think it was back in 2017, if I'm remembering the dates right, we assessed all our boilers, main campus boilers and our satellite boilers as well, trying to get a feel for where are we in the spectrum of their lifespan. And so this was part of that original study. We knew that time was going to come. We kind of reassessed a few years ago, and you know, what are the conditions here? Are they getting worse? And that's the process we would go through as we monitor, we kind of know what's coming in the future, and we're reaching that point where we're getting a little nervous. Anytime it comes to a utility system, I worry about that a little bit more than what's the sidewalks look like, for example. Not that that's not important, but having heat to the building is pretty critical.
And how do we plan for that from a budget perspective right now? Like when we're looking at the multi-year, you know, budgets that we're planning?
I mean, capital budgets for this level of capital expense are maintained separately from our operating budget. John, you work very closely with capital development. Why don't you comment on that? And then George certainly can weigh in if he has additional.
I'm not looking for state funding for this particular project. This would be NIU funded, but we look at what is made available in the budget for our capital investments, and we prioritize where's our greatest need and what fits within the particular budget for a particular fiscal year. So because of the length of time it takes to do a construction project, it really straddles a lot of fiscal years at a time. We are kind of forced to do that multi-year budgeting, even though it's not formalized in NIU, we do that when we plan out our projects, so.
Okay, thank you.
And the only thing I'd add is that Naperville and Rockford are a little different as well because they're self-funded, right? So a lot of the money that they make pays for their facilities and for some of their upkeep, so that's part of the budget calculus as well.
So, so do we have a separate capital budget then for these buildings? Well, let me go back for a second here. So you're saying this, that the Rockford building is state funded. So is that ones paying for
these buildings? And George, weigh in if I'm wrong here. Rockford is different than Naperville because Rockford was a state funded building. But both of those buildings are on the budget line of the Division of Outreach, Engagement, and Regional Development, a division which gets a very, very minimal amount of state funding. And so even though the building was originally built as a state building, the maintenance of that building is, for the most part, taken care of by the revenue generated in that building and through the Division of OERD. I don't know, George, you might want to, you know, clean that up a little bit.
No, actually, I think that's pretty spot on. That's exactly how that works.
So then we have a separate budget for it then?
I wouldn't call it a separate capital budget, Eric. I would call it they pay for their own operations, right? So they do set it. They don't spend all the money that they make. They set aside some in reserves, and as things come up, they pay for those things.
Okay.
This is being paid separately then by their own budget? Is that what I'm hearing?
It would be paying for out of the 41 reserves, yes. Their 41 is the type of fund that we call that, but it's paid for out of the reserves, yes.
Out of there. Okay, thank you.
I know there's no finite answer for this, John, but can you just give us a few thoughts on you know, the first few sentences here that, you know, it's showing increasing signs of deterioration and for which replacement rather than repair, you know, was the decision. What goes into the decision process on your part or whoever's making that decision on whether to just keep repairing and band-aiding it versus when it's time to replace?
That's a very common analysis that happens with a lot of our projects, assessing can it be repaired? Can you keep the essence of the system that you have? Or is it more economical just to start over, replace the whole thing? And there's no exact science to this. It is an assessment. It is somewhat subjective, but we evaluate that. You buy a new car. Do you repair it or do you buy a new car sort of thing? And you get into trying to analyze, is it worth continuing to repair something that's already at its life, past its life, or do you buy something new and replace it? And so that's the process that we continually go through with every project, basically.
Thank you. Any further questions on 8E? Okay. We have a motion to approve. We have a second. All those in favor of agenda item 8E say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Abstain? Agenda item 8E is passed. Agenda item 8F.
Agenda item 8F is the Stevenson Residential Complex Delivery Dock Area Repairs. The university is requesting approval to proceed with design and construction for major repairs to the primary delivery point for the Stevenson Residential Complex, which was paved in the 1960s and is in a severe state of disrepair. Thought or minor repairs are no longer an economical option, and the condition is adversely affecting vehicles using this area. The intent is for design work to proceed beginning this summer and fall, with work to be completed in summer 2025 to minimize impact during the academic year. The estimated cost would be $475,000. The university recommends that the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee endorse this request and ask that the president move forward it by means of the president's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its meeting on June 20th, 2024.
Okay, thank you. Is there a motion to approve agenda item 8F?
So moved, Wasowitz.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second. Moore.
Thank you, Trustee Moore. Is there any discussion? I have one question. So I read in here that there was an electrical snowmelt system that was, I'm assuming, embedded into the concrete back in the 1960s. That's kind of interesting. and it's accelerating the deterioration. I actually have some personal experience with that happening. Are you planning to put electrical snowmelt back into the new build, or we haven't determined that yet?
Yeah, I personally don't know that detail, so I'll have to look into what our plans are there. Those are always difficult. They're convenient, but maintenance can be very difficult with that. So,
but what I found is that it can't melt 100% of the area, so what it melts flows downhill and eventually becomes an ice skating rink wherever it gathers, which it always gathers in a spot where someone's going to walk, slip. So I'm not a big fan of them. But anyway, okay, great, thank you. Any other questions on 8F or comments? Okay. We've had a motion, we've had a second, we've had discussion. All those in favor of agenda item 8F, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Abstain? Agenda item 8F is passed. Agenda item 8G.
Agenda item 8G is the Jordan Center Building Addition. As a continuing commitment to providing enhanced nutritional services for NIU student athletes, a 7,000 square foot addition is proposed for the east entrance of the Jordan Center. Intended to expand on Northwestern Medicine Sports Performance Center and the Phi Sigma Kappa Alumni Association Nutrition Center, which opened in June 2019, the additional space, named the 1899 Club in reference to the initial year NIU completed and competed in intercollegiate collegiate athletics, will provide training table meals initially for the NIU football, volleyball, and basketball teams, and over time to additional programs. When not used for team meals, the space will allow NIU student-athlete academic support services to support additional tutoring and small group meetings. Construction may be feasible for summer or fall of 2025. Total donor funding amount is expected at $4 million. The university recommends that the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee endorse this request and ask that the president forward it by means of the president's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its meeting on June 20th, 2024.
Thank you, George. Is there a motion to approve agenda item 8G?
So moved, Athus.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second, Strum.
Thank you. On discussion, so George, I think you mentioned it, but this is coming from donor funding, so there's no institutional funds being used for this facility, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Other questions or comments? Trustee Athus?
Just to verify, those funds are already in hand?
I think the may be feasible is saying it may be feasible on the schedule in here, but that's contingent upon all of the funds being delivered.
Okay.
Hearing no further questions,
so
is
this
there
is a pass-through then, basically?
I'm sorry, Trustee Wasowitz?
So this is a pass-through then?
Essentially.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. The question was, is this a pass-through? And the answer is yes.
Yes.
Okay. Any further discussions or comments? Okay. Hearing none, all those in favor of agenda item 8G, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Abstain? Agenda item 8G is passed. Last agenda item for action is agenda item 8H.
Here we are in the home stretch. Agenda item 8H is the U.S. Geological Survey Research Partnership Renovation Project Budget Increase. This project was originally approved at the December 8th, 2022 meeting for $500,000 and supported the renovation of available NIU space to host the local U.S. Geological Services Survey, USGS, Office for Enhanced Research Collaboration. Due to some additional exterior site improvements desired and funding provided by the USGS, this revised project approval is to increase the budget from $500,000 to $600,000. The scope of additional exterior site improvements involves the construction of a vehicle and equipment storage yard adjacent to the building spaces being renovated. The university recommends that the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee endorse this request and ask that the President forward it by means of the President's report to the Board of Trustees for approval at its meeting on June 20th, 2024.
Thank you. Is there a motion to approve agenda item 8H?
So moved, Wasowitz.
Is there a second?
Second, Warren.
Thank you. Any discussion or comments? Trustee Wasowitz.
So again, so this is joint funding here with USGS then, and how much is coming out of our pockets?
So no dollars or no funding is coming from NIU. This is passed through from USGS.
So it's total. Okay, maybe I misread that then because I thought it. Because it says institutional fund support. Oh, supported with.
It's a reimbursement mechanism.
Yeah.
All right. So it's a complete pass through. All right.
Last we spoke about this, though, this was still something that I don't know that we had final approval on from USGS. Do we know that we have that they have approved this project internally, or
the last I understand, it's working through their system. They're confident. They tell us of getting the funds through their system. So at this point, I'm not holding my breath, but we're ready to proceed if they produce the money.
And clearly,
I see
if
colleagues
they don't
from sponsored projects are nodding their heads, so that must be that it's approved.
Okay. And clearly, if they didn't come forward with the money, then this project wouldn't go forward.
Correct.
Okay, great. Thank you. Sorry, I didn't see you behind the wall of folks
wall
in front of you. Okay. Any further discussion or comments on 8H? Okay, hearing none, all those in favor of agenda item 8H, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstain? Agenda item 8H is passed. We will now move on to agenda item 9, university reports. George?
NIU board regulations stipulate that the university presents regular summaries of designated activities, including financial and property transactions, as well as confirmation that state and federal requirements are met. Two reports provided include comprehensive written updates and are submitted in accordance with board regulations. And normally, at this point, I would be saying I'm happy to answer any questions because I'm an accountant and I don't like to talk a whole lot. But I want to talk for just a quick second on the Campus Energy Improvements Phase 1 implementation. I believe Courtney Gallagher is in the audience and so John Heckman, so they can answer more specific questions. But just really wanted to, at a high level, say that I've had the opportunity to work on some public-private partnerships in my past. And those are usually things like selling parking lots or entering housing agreements. And they're not really public-private partnerships in the sense that they benefit students. ones like this that we have before us, where we're partnering with Frame, is really the truest form of what I consider to be a public-private partnership. They're partnering with our students to help provide educational opportunities for them to learn about energy. And you know, normally in the other types of public-private partnerships, there's no engagement with the students. And so this one involves our students. Crane is helping us identify areas where we can potentially reduce our carbon footprint, so we're benefiting, and then there's a benefit to Crane as well. So I'm just really excited about this report and this potential opportunity with Crane. And I don't know if Dr. Freeman has anything she wants to add, or Courtney or John, if you have questions, but just really excited about this.
I will just say Courtney and I and a number of John's staff had the opportunity to see two teams of students from our College of Engineering and Engineering Technology who worked with NIU power plant, steam plant employees and trained to do energy assessment of DuSable Hall, make their recommendations. And they reflected very positively on the experience, on being held to true industry standards, of having to do a lot of background work and calculations to make the estimates. They were absolutely grilled by some of the employees of the company. They responded incredibly well. At least one of them has already been hired by the company. They had the opportunity to present different aspects of it again at the Undergraduate Research Conference and Engineering Senior Design Day. And if this is just a taste of what the in-depth engagement of our students by Train is going to look like, then we have a lot to look forward to.
Further comments, George, or should we move on?
I don't have any more comments about this. I do have just one other thing. I just want to say how much I appreciate being able to present remotely today. It means a lot to me. It means a lot to my family. I appreciate all the support and love from NIU. It just has meant the world to us.
It's our pleasure and honor. Best to your family. And we're glad we could do it today, and it just shows the power of technology. So that's awesome. Okay, are there other matters to come before this committee? I will say one thing, having nothing to do with the Board of Trustee meeting, but just a general announcement for the university. Seeing Courtney here, she reminded me of it. Last Friday, we had our first Trek Talks on campus. Dr. Freeman was there with most of the senior staff was there as well that are in this room. Extremely successful. Courtney was one of the presenters and award winners. Congratulations, Courtney. Looking to bring Prairie Land back to the back 40 or behind Barsima Hall in the engineering building. So I would love to see that come to fruition. For those, and this is going to be an ongoing event, or I don't know if it's annual or semi-annual or what the plan is, but the next time that there are Trek Talks, I would encourage you all to attend. They were fascinating, and again, just as Dr. Freeman commented on, you know, the work that we're doing with the Train and how impressed we are, you know, I know myself and Stacy walked away just shaking our heads with the creativity and the ingenuity of NIU faculty, staff, students presented at that event, and it was a great event. And you know, as we talked about before with a previous topic, it reminds us, you know, why we're here, and it reminds us of why we do what we do. So the next time there's a Trek Talk, I recommend you attend. So, any further items for the committee? Okay. Next meeting of this committee will be August 22nd of 2024. Is there a motion to adjourn the meeting of the Finance, Audit, Compliance, Facilities, and Operations Committee?
So made, Strum.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Trustee Wasiewicz. Ms. Dole, would you please call the roll to adjourn this meeting?
Trustee Rita Athus?
Yes.
Trustee Veronica Herrero?
Yes.
Trustee Tim Moore?
Yes.
Trustee Eric Wasowitz?
Yes.
Trustee John Butler?
Yes.
Board Chair Montel Gales? Committee Vice Chair Leland Strom?
Yes.
Committee Chair Dennis Barsima?
Yes. This concludes the Finance Audit Compliance Facilities and Operations Committee.